I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and on this edition of the show, we're going to be discussing the latest on Lisandro Martinez. We're going to be talking Rafinha. What on earth is going on there? We're going to be talking about Gabriel Jesus having been spotted at Emirates Stadium pitch side with his brand new number 9 shirt on. We're also going to be talking about what Arsenal should be looking to prioritise this summer in terms of positions. Because I think going into the window, we all had a pretty clear idea of what Arsenal needed. But the fact that we've made a move for Rafinha, the fact that we've made a move for Lisandro Martinez, it's kind of just confused people a little bit as to what the priorities are at Arsenal this summer. Not to say that we don't need players in that position, in those positions, I beg your pardon, but you know, I think a lot of people were thinking striker, 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 and probably centre midfielder. And as of yet, we haven't really moved for one. So it's going to be really, really interesting to get into that discussion and into that debate with all of you guys in the live chat box as well. Big hello to everyone watching us on YouTube at the moment. Big hello to everybody joining us on Twitter. And of course, to those of you joining us on Facebook, we are streaming to Facebook for the first time in a long time. I'm streaming it to my personal page. So if you're not my friend, you can't watch it anyway. But yeah, thought I'd chuck it on there for the first time in a while as well. Let's say a few hellos before we jump into the discussion. Let's start off with Davidson. Big hello to Harvey, to the Wandering Minstrel, to SJ Chan, to Creambone, to Arsenal Analyzed, to Artifact, to Jay, to George, to Moss, to Nitin Patel. Big hello to Fort Lauderdale Guna Craig, to Clock End Seb, to Tom, to Mr. Lucas, to Oisin, to Sudderson, to Felix, to Good Guy, to Justin, to everybody basically in the live chat box. Hope you're all well. Hope you're all doing good. Okay, right, let's get into it then. What is the latest on some of Arsenal's reported transfer targets? Let's break it down for you based on what we know now. First of all, we know that Arsenal are still very, very much interested in Lisandro Martinez. The Ajax defender is not just being courted by the Gunners at the moment, but he's also being eyed up by Manchester United. And there is talk that that Erik ten Hag connection could be key in persuading him that actually Old Trafford is the best place to be as opposed to Emirates Stadium. However, as I understand it so far, Manchester United are still yet to make a formal approach to Ajax over Lisandro Martinez. Could they be waiting in the wings, waiting for Arsenal to essentially do the hard work and then potentially jump in on the back of that in order to come in at the last minute and try and steal the player away? Now, we'd heard in the last week or so that he was set on a move to Arsenal, that he was set on a move to the Premier League. But the interest from Manchester United in terms of how serious that is thought to be has really increased over the last few days. Ajax don't want to lose everybody, obviously, this summer, and they've already allowed a number of players to move on. So you get the impression that they're not really willing to budge on their asking price. Why? Because, as I say, they don't really have to sell. They've made a shit ton of money this year already. And actually, to lose Lisandro Martinez means that they've got to replace him as well. Now, there were links earlier in the window between Manchester United and Jurrien Timber, who's the other centre-back, or another one of the centre-backs that was very, very impressive at Ajax last season. But it's understood that Jurrien Timber isn't sure that he wants to join Manchester United, which is what's said to have, I guess, encouraged Erik ten Hag and his team to turn their attentions to Lisandro Martinez. But as it stands, only Arsenal have made a formal offer to Ajax for the player. It's still short of Ajax's valuation. Ajax is said to be holding out for around about 50 million euros. The Gunners have offered 40 million euros plus add-ons. We're not exactly sure how much those add-ons amount to, but there's a feeling at least that Arsenal are getting closer. So that's the latest on him. Competition, of course, between Arsenal and Manchester United for the Argentine defender. Let's talk a little bit about Rafinha, because this saga is still rumbling on. Now, we heard just a couple of days ago from Fabrizio Romano that a deal had been done, had been agreed between Chelsea and Leeds United, and that personal terms had been wrapped up between Chelsea and the player as well. However, we've seen a little bit of backtracking since from Fabrizio Romano and from a number of other people who claimed that that deal was already done. What are they saying now? Well, it looks as though Rafinha has decided, I'm not sure that I want to go to Chelsea. You know, I prefer to go to Barcelona. That's what he wants. Deco, his agent, was spotted in Barcelona. And according to Graham Bailey, 90 Min's transfer correspondent, who I spoke to today on the 90 Min Talking Transfers podcast, which you can find on all major podcast stores or the 90 Min YouTube channel, Graham Bailey says that Deco was over in Barcelona debriefing the Catalan club, basically on what Chelsea had offered to Rafinha, basically making it very, very clear to the Spanish giants what they need to do if they want to land Rafinha this summer. Now, Barcelona are said to have contacted Leeds again after an initial bid or initial verbal offer that was really, really low. It was said to be around about 30, 35 million euros. But it's understood Barcelona are trying to get as close to that 65 million pound number that Leeds are looking for, but they're only willing to do it or able to do it on the basis of add-ons. And this is a big, big problem, right? Because what do you make of Barcelona's situation? They've got a number of players that they've already signed that they can't register because of the financial problems that they have right now. So how on earth can they go out and discuss a deal and come up to the negotiation table, basically, from that position with Leeds United? It makes no sense. But what is becoming more and more apparent, what is becoming clearer and clearer by the day, is that Rafinha wants to go to Barcelona above everything. Now, we always knew that Barcelona was his priority, but we also thought that Chelsea would be a side that could tempt him there. And maybe they still can if Barcelona and Leeds can't come to some sort of agreement. But it's really, really interesting that even with this mega money offer on the table from Chelsea, Rafinha still wants to wait. And the more I think about this, and the more we talk about this, and the more I read, and the more I kind of follow this story as it unfolds, the more I feel like I'm kind of glad that we've walked away from this shit show of a transfer negotiation. Now, I'm not saying he's a bad player. You know, I'd love to have him at Arsenal. I really, really would. But it's clear that this deal has just got too many add-ons, too much complication. There's too much baggage to this deal that you have to kind of lift and overcome and sort of carry throughout the process of it to get to that end destination. And is it actually worth it? And you might be thinking that I'm just saying this because I'm an Arsenal fan and he's not coming to Arsenal as it stands anyway. And so for me, you know, I'm just trying to make myself feel better about it. That's what people will say. But I'll explain a little bit later on when we come on to talk about what Arsenal should be prioritising this summer as to why I've come to that conclusion. But this Rafinha saga looks as though it's going to drag on. Rafinha reluctant to commit to Chelsea at the moment because he feels that he might get an offer from Barcelona if indeed them and Leeds can come to some sort of agreement that will allow him to go to his preferred destination. In other news, Gabriel Jesus has been spotted at Emirates Stadium wearing his Arsenal kit and wearing the number 9 shirt, the number that we all know that Gabriel Jesus is going to get. But still, at the time of recording, no official announcement from the club. And it is driving me bloody crazy. But based on what we saw today, it looked as though those pictures, the videos, whatever it is they're going to do to put the announcement out, was being filmed and will probably be being edited right now. So I'd imagine that at least over the next couple of days, I'd probably guess tomorrow, we're going to get that official announcement from the club with regards to Gabriel Jesus. And it'll be nice because it feels like there's been a little bit of moaning and groaning again over the last few days. It feels as though people were on this massive high based on what they thought we were going to do in the window. And because the Rafinha deal in particular looks to have fallen away a little bit, people are kind of worried and concerned and getting a little bit frustrated. What I will say, and I've said it time and time again, is there are still 2 months to go in this transfer window. I know it's not 2 months until the season, but it's very rare actually for a transfer window to see so much movement at this early stage. I was talking about this today with Adeola Depo on TalkSport 2 when we were doing the show today. we discussed this at length. You know, normally transfer windows start quite slowly and then things pick up. And then, of course, it goes a little bit quiet again. And towards the back end of the window, right at the end, the last few days, you start to see movement and you start to see deadlocks being broken between clubs that may have been in existence for months prior. So, yeah, there's, you know, there's lots of time left. There's lots of business still to be done. So I'm not too stressed at the moment. You know, I think we got to keep telling ourselves that Arsenal have a plan. That Arsenal are working on that plan. We saw the way the Fabio Vieira deal came completely out of the blue. And there's no reason why Arsenal can't pull something like that out of the hat again. So let's chill out. Let's relax. Obviously, there's a lot of players still to move on as well. You know, Bellerin's back training at Arsenal. Ainsley Maitland-Niles is back training at Arsenal. Lucas Torreira has been very clear in the last few days about him wanting to, you know, move on. And the fact that he doesn't want to return to Arsenal. We talked about that yesterday. And that obviously remains the case. You know, there's so much. There's so much to still take place and to still happen. So don't lose your minds yet is my advice to you. Okay, before we move on to talk about what Arsenal's priorities should be during this transfer window, I'm just going to ask you, if you haven't done so already, please do leave a like on the video, particularly if you're joining us via YouTube. It really, really does help. Hit the like button. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel if you're new. We hit 22,000 subscribers here on YouTube alone yesterday, which was incredible. I want to try and get to 25,000 by the end of the transfer window. Now, that is a very, very ambitious target, but I think we can do it if we keep the momentum going. So please, if you're new to the channel, be sure to subscribe. And if you're listening via the audio platforms, please, please do leave us a review. I'd really, really appreciate it. Now, if you remember when we hit 20,000 subscribers, which was only last month, crazy to think that, right? I promised that I would give away not one, not two, but three new Arsenal home shirts. And that time has come. So if you are a regular listener or viewer of the Chronicles of Aguna podcast and you want to enter the draw to win one of those three home shirts that I'm going to be giving away, I'm going to be picking three random winners. Of the three random winners, one of them is going to come from our members pool. Now, there's a lot less members than there are subscribers. So members, you have a much better chance of winning one of these shirts because there's simply less of you and there's a shirt up for grabs. Whereas for the normal subscribers who are also welcome to enter the competition as well, there'll be two shirts up for grabs, but there's thousands of you going into the draw for this. So if you do want to get involved, all you need to do is email me at chroniclesafc@gmail.com. And I'm going to be putting a tweet out as soon as this show finishes, which you need to like and retweet in order to enter yourself into the draw. Now, those of you that don't have Twitter, you can email me. But for those of you that do have Twitter, just do it on Twitter. It's much easier. I should have said that in the first place, but you know what I mean. Anyway, okay, so three Arsenal shirts. Going to be giving them away over the next few weeks. Really looking forward to this. Okay, let's talk priorities. What should Arsenal's priorities be this summer? Now, I think going into the transfer window, it was obvious that the main priority had to be at centre forward. That for me was the number one, and actually by quite some distance. It's clearly a position that we've struggled in of late. It's clearly a position that, you know, Mikel Arteta thought he could get buy-in with Aubameyang, with Lacazette. Even when Aubameyang's form dipped, you still felt like, given his pedigree, given his goal scoring prowess over the years prior, that he would be able to offer us something in that department. And what we saw with the evolution of the team was actually that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang just wasn't quite the right striker anymore. And I'd argue that our best football came during last season when Lacazette was playing that role. Not as good a goal scorer as Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. That's, you know, that's blatantly obvious. But someone who was willing to link up the play, someone who was willing to drop that little bit deeper, and someone who was much more aggressive and willing to be aggressive in leading the press, which is what Arsenal desperately needed. Lacazette came in, done that job pretty well for the most part. And while the guys around him were scoring goals, it didn't really matter that his tally was somewhat low. However, as the goals started to dry up in the rest of the team, you ultimately turn and look to your centre forward, don't you, for inspiration in that department. And we just never got that from Alexander Lacazette. He's moved on now. Aubameyang's moved on as well. And his future at Barcelona, I have to say, is looking quite bleak, which again kind of backs up the point that, you know, wherever he went, the same problems were going to follow him. But that's a discussion for another day. Going back to Arsenal, though, we needed to bring in a centre-forward this summer. We needed to probably spend the most significant amount of money on a centre-forward who could come in and could do a lot of the good things that Lacazette did at the back end or sort of the midpoint of last season, but also can add more goals to the party. We need a striker who can score 15 goals, you know, 20 in all competitions. That's what we need. We need someone who can do that, who can contribute that. What a huge difference that would make to the team, by the way, but also someone who can continue the good work in terms of being aggressive in the press, being hardworking, offering us something a little bit different. Because I did feel at times with Lacazette, we became very one-dimensional. Gabriel Jesus is that. Gabriel Jesus is someone who offers threat in behind, who comes alive inside the penalty area, who can pop up in the six-yard box, who's quite happy to drift left or right. For me, you know, he ticks a lot of boxes. Now, was he the one I wanted above everybody? No, he wasn't. Going into the summer, the one I really, really wanted was Darwin Nunez. And the reason for that was because he does a lot of those things I've mentioned, but he also has that physical presence that I did feel at times up front we were missing last season. So, okay, you know, Gabriel Jesus doesn't tick every single box, in my opinion, but he ticks most of them. And I think he's as good as we could have hoped for, given that we missed out on Champions League football and given that we really stood no chance going up against Liverpool for a player who had his heart set on going there, but also a player that they've been willing to spend around about, we're told, 85 million euros in total to get over the line. That's clear. Arsenal have a number of positions they want to address. And so you're not going to see this from Arsenal where they go out and spend 85 million on one player. As you build, as you develop, as you get yourself into a stronger position as a squad and as a group, the less targets you have every summer and the more able you are to go and push the boat right out to land those targets. Arsenal are not quite there yet. This is phase two. Last summer was the real sort of first big summer that we saw from Arsenal in terms of numbers, turnaround, players out, players in. January was players out in order to facilitate what we hope and expect to be a big summer as well. And now we're in that second phase where we're trying to bring in another four or five players to take us onto the next level. So where else do we need to prioritise? Centre forward, we can all agree, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong in the chat. If you think differently, let me know. But I think we can all agree that centre forward was the number one priority. And we've done that. We've addressed that. As I said, the announcement around Gabriel Jesus is imminent. But where next? Because I think when we heard the links to Youri Tielemans, people were sort of excited and positive about the fact that it was bolstering a position in midfield that we probably needed a bit more in. When we were linked to Lisandro Martinez, and you think about the fact that he can play left back, left centre back, but also defensive midfield, that makes a lot of sense as well. But the one that seemed like a bit of an anomaly, a bit of an outlier in terms of where it fits in our priority list, was Rafinha. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need a winger. I'd actually quite like Arsenal to bring a winger in. I think we were too reliant on some very young and inexperienced wingers last season who burnt out at various points. And ultimately, that left us that little bit short. Now, maybe they wouldn't have left us short with a top-class centre-forward around them who, as I said, would contribute 15 goals in the league, maybe 20 in all competitions. If you had that, then maybe it doesn't shine such a glaring light on the fact that things dried up a little bit for some of the younger players. But that wasn't the case. So that did, you know, cost us. It did come to our attention. It did come to light. As I say, maybe it's not as big a deal with Gabriel Jesus up front. Maybe it won't be as big a problem with a better striker like him. But, you know, as I say, I want a winger. I think we could do with a winger. I think we probably will try and bring one in. But in terms of my list of priorities, this is how I look at it. Striker was number one, undoubtedly. You can tick that off. Arsenal have done that. in signing Gabriel Jesus and tying down Eddie Nketiah to a new contract. Regardless of what you think of him, Arsenal have done their job in that department, in their eyes anyway. They've done sufficient business in terms of that contract renewal, but also the addition of Gabriel Jesus to cover that position for next season. Add to that that Gabriel Martinelli could play there if you desperately needed him to. Add to that that we could play with a false nine with any number of players that we have within that group if you wanted them to. And I think that position is covered as best as it's going to be covered this summer. Okay, so you move on. For me, centre midfield is the next most important position. It's the next most important position because I think that when we're without one of Xhaka or Partey, the drop-off is just too much. Now, people are critical of Xhaka. They always have been. They probably always will be. For as long as he wears an Arsenal shirt, I think there'll be a certain section of the fan base that give him a hard time. And I think that's lazy analysis in a lot of ways. I think there are some shortcomings that are clear to see when you watch Xhaka week in, week out. But I think the same can be said of a number of players. But I just think the drop-off between Xhaka and Elneny, for example, or the drop-off between Xhaka and Lokonga at the moment, a player who I think will get there but isn't there right now, is too significant. When you take Thomas Partey out of the equation, we are a significantly weaker side. And it's clear that Mikel Arteta thinks that, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have referred back to playing with two sixes towards the back end of last season. That was the biggest telltale sign that he didn't trust any other midfielder to hold that defensive midfield role alone. So that suggests to me that he needs to bring in another player like that or put all his faith in Lokonga. Based on what we saw from Lokonga last season, I don't know that he's at that level yet. I don't know that he's ready. Doesn't mean I want to discard him. Doesn't mean I want to write him off. But I just don't think right now he's at that level. So you look at that position again and you worry. I worry. I really, really do. I'm concerned about that area of the pitch. And so I took encouragement when we were really heavily linked with Tielemans. Does he cover all aspects? Can he play, for example, the lone Thomas Partey role? No, he can't. But what he can do is he can play as an eight. He can be a little bit more advanced if you need him to be. He was very hardworking and I think can do a lot of the defensive work in the middle of the park too. But it still doesn't really cover us in that defensive midfield position. And I guess my way of thinking was, if you can make the rest of the midfield much more efficient, much more effective, much more mobile, then maybe you could get away with chucking a Mohamed Elneny in there from time to time, or even putting Granit Xhaka into that role from time to time, if that's what it takes. So I was happy with the Tielemans idea. But obviously that's not progressed and we don't really know what's going on with that. It's been a lot of theories, a lot of talk. I said that my hunch was that it had something to do with the representatives and them kind of trying to broker a deal that benefited themselves more so than maybe Arsenal had hoped initially when sort of approaching Tielemans' people. I don't know. But the fact that we then seem to kind of drop that one, sign Fabio Vieira, who I think is a very, very good addition, by the way, but doesn't really mitigate the problems I've just talked about, and then seemingly be willing to spend a large proportion of our budget on a winger, confused me. I've got to be honest, it confused me. And it kind of made me try and rethink what I believe the priorities to be. And I've probably come to the conclusion now that the priorities I have are not necessarily in line with the clubs. Now, rightly or wrongly, I don't know. But that's where I am at now. I'm at the point where I do feel like maybe we as a fan base, we as journalists, we as people covering the club have maybe gauged this wrong, you know, have maybe shot our shot and it's wide of the mark. I don't know. I don't know how you want to put it. Maybe we got it wrong in terms of what we thought Arsenal were looking for. And maybe when you compare that to what Arsenal are actually looking for, there are some discrepancies. And that's perhaps why we've been surprised by the Fabio Vieira signing. We've been surprised by Arsenal's intent to sign Rafinha when clearly they have other things to do. I think a defender is important as well. I think we had a big problem at fullback last season. on both sides due to certain injuries. I'm not as worried now about the right side because of A, the role that Mikel Arteta asked his right back to play, and B, because of the fact with Saliba coming back, Ben White gives you yet another option that you can play there. So you could play Ben White there, you could play Tomiyasu there, you've got Cedric in the squad as well. But left back still feels problematic because of the tendency in Kieran Tierney to get injured. And that's why Lisandro Martinez is a really appealing prospect, because he can do that Kieran Tierney job, but also he can cover you in midfield. And I wonder if, when looking at him, Arsenal are trying to tick off both the defensive need, but also the need in that central midfield, central defensive midfield position. I think that's why he's such an appealing prospect. But as I said earlier on, we've got a lot of work still to do in that deal if we're going to get it over the line, because Manchester United are stepping up their interest in the player. So how would I rank the priorities? At the start of the summer, striker was right at the top of my list, but how do I rank them now? For me now, it's central midfield, a defender, and then a winger. I think we've got Jesus in. If we can get three players in, on top of Marquinhos, on top of Matt Turner, on top of Saliba coming back, I'd be quite happy with that. We're going to put some videos together looking at targets, people that I think would be a good fit. Started doing some prep for these videos today. Haven't finished it yet, though, so I will get those over the weekend to you guys in between all the transfer talk as well. But yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting. But as I say, my priorities right now are centre midfield, a defender, and then a winger. When I say a defender, someone who could cover left back and left centre back would be ideal, because those are the two positions across that back four where we're most short. So that would be ideal. That's why Lisandro Martinez would be ideal. Winger is something I'd like, but if we can't do it, we can't do it. I'm not really going to lose too much sleep over it. So that's where I'm at. Okay, let's go over to the chat box. Get some of your questions in. I'd love to take some of your questions between now and the end of the show. A big thank you to the Snipe.Genius for becoming a member of the YouTube channel. Thank you so, so much, mate. Really, really do appreciate it. Remember, if you're a member of the Chronicles of Aguna channel, you have a better chance of winning one of those three Arsenal home shirts that I'm giving away in the next few weeks. There's going to be a tweet going out this evening, so keep your eyes peeled for it. All you need to do to enter is like it, retweet it, subscribe to the show as well. If you don't have Twitter, you can email me, chroniclesafc@gmail.com. Okay, let's take some of your thoughts, some of your questions. I've seen Arsenal Forever says, why are you wearing a Ukrainian football shirt? If you think this is me trying to make some political statement, it isn't, because I bought this before any of that stuff started. But yeah, it is a Ukrainian football shirt. I've got loads of like retro football shirts, different countries, different clubs. And this was just one of my collection. It's not any political statement. Although I do wish well to all of those still sort of suffering over in Ukraine. I have to admit, I haven't been as across it as I was sort of right at the start of the conflict, but obviously it's still happening. There's still people suffering. So big love to everybody over in the Ukraine currently struggling with the current situation. But yeah, no, it's not a political statement if you're trying to lure that out of me. Let's go to Lynn, who's talking about Tielemans. She says, I think that Leicester thought there would be clubs coming in for him, but this has not happened. And they thought this would push the price up. And now they have a decision to make on selling him. Yeah, it could have something to do with that. I think they probably, I probably think they did envisage there being more interest in Youri Tielemans, given his contract situation, given that he's available for £25 million, as is said. But I think when you think about the clubs that would be looking at him, you know, Man United were one that he was heavily linked with. Their priority at the moment is Frankie de Jong, clearly. We've heard from Ben Jacobs of CBS Sport that Youri Tielemans always wanted to come to Arsenal and that Arsenal would be his first choice. I think that Arsenal know how the land lays with Youri Tielemans. And while I don't think this deal is anywhere near happening, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a player that Arsenal go back in for further down the window. And hopefully that might see them get it at a price that they feel is more suitable and doesn't hinder us in any other business. Just a quick reminder on the likes, because we've got only 147 on the board, but there's nearly 700 of you with me live right now across the multiple platforms. So why on earth haven't we managed to get up to 300 likes? Come on, smash the like button. Doesn't cost a thing. Clock End Seb says, are there any free agents you think the club should take a punt on? Not that really spring to mind, if I'm honest. It's a hard one. I think the best way to approach this, because people ask me this all the time, you know, what players would I like in this position? What players would I like in that position? I need to really sit down and break it down in position. So I'm going to do that. I've told you guys what my priorities are. Striker first, we've done that. Central midfield, defensive midfield, and a winger. I'm going to do individual episodes breaking down who I'd like to see and why come in those positions. I'm going to give you three options for each, and maybe Mikel Arteta will have a listen and pass those names on to Edu. Who knows? No, I'm just kidding. I can't think off the top of my head of a free agent that I'd like to specifically take a punt on. But I'm not one to be obsessed by price or bogged down on that. If a player is available for 5 million, who's going to be just as useful and just as effective in the system as somebody who's 30 million pounds, that doesn't really bother me. I know a lot of fans get irritated by things like that. You know, there's a bit of snobbery. For me, that doesn't exist. Craig says, Harry, I only want the shirt if you're going to sign it. What a way to ruin a shirt, Craig. A lovely Arsenal shirt, brand spanking new. You want me to put my grubby signature all over it? I'll send you it, mate. I'll send you it if you win. You nearly caught me out there. What else have we got? HFN says, is Arteta overrated? What has he individually shown to be a trait of elite coaches? We can go round and round and round and round in circles. Why do I always forget to pull that bit of the blind down when I go live? We always have this debate. We always go around in circles about Mikel Arteta. And at the end of the day, mate, he is Arsenal Football Club's manager. He's just been given a new contract and he's taken us into the new season. Let's get behind him and let's support him. I think last season, there were mistakes made. There were decisions that were questionable. There were decisions that we as fans looked at and couldn't make sense of, ended up scratching our heads about. But at the end of the day, he achieved more than what most people thought was possible with that side. He finished fifth and was in the Champions League race until the final day. Now, it sounds a bit Spursy, doesn't it? Sort of talking about nearly doing something, nearly achieving something. But you, in order to understand what the job is that Mikel Arteta is doing and how well he's done, you have to understand the circumstances in which he's been asked to work. He was asked to come in and rip out the heart and soul of a rotten squad. And it's taken some time to do that, longer than maybe was initially expected, because we've struggled to move players on. As much as people moan about a lack of activity with regards to incomings, outgoings have been a big problem as well. That has been a real hindrance. People don't want to buy the dead wood. People don't want to buy your junk. That's why people leave stuff outside their house in the road for someone to walk past and pick it up, if you live in London anyway. Because no one's going to come and offer you money for it because it's junk. We're talking about cast-offs here. And that's what a lot of those players have become. So that's hindered us. I think overall he's recruited really well. And I think last season in particular, you could see an identity. You could see what Arsenal were trying to build and create. And that gives me encouragement. The Hippo says, how many more gazumpings can you take? Yeah, for sure. But interestingly, Chelsea did come in and gazump us for Rafinha, but still can't seem to get him to sign a contract, which suggests that maybe we'd have been in the same boat had we met Leeds' valuation. Maybe we'd have been in that position where Rafinha's sitting there going, yeah, I might do this, but actually I'm going to hold on and see if Barcelona can offer me better. Who knows? And that would have been really bloody frustrating. So maybe it was a blessing in disguise that, you know, Chelsea did come in. Maybe it's kind of shone a light on the fact that Rafinha's heart is on a move to Barcelona. And anything else is going to feel a little bit underwhelming for him. And, you know, these might be famous last words. Can you imagine we end up signing him now? What I'd have to say. But that would still, that reservation about his want and where he wants to be will always be there for me. I've said it before, you sometimes need to convince these players that your place is right for them, because you're not in a position to give them and offer them what they want necessarily. But when you can see how badly he wants Barcelona, the fact he'd put that Chelsea offer on ice for the time being at the time of recording, just to wait and see if Barca can do anything, it shows you very clearly, doesn't it? You know, where he wants to be. What else have we got? AJ Envoy says, I don't know, Harry, I feel like we've lost a bit of steam and the wind has been taken out of our sails. Do you think Arsenal move too slowly in the market? I do appreciate the Jesus signing, though. Look, I think we've only lost that bit of steam if you let that happen to you. Like, as a fan, I'm still massively excited about this window. At this stage, I'm still positive that Arsenal are going to come out of the back of this window in much better shape. I think that, yeah, there was some disappointment when that Rafinha news dropped, because we'd hyped ourselves up to believe that this was a deal that we could do and a player that we could bring in. And we've all seen him over the last couple of seasons really impressing the Premier League. But at the end of the day, you know, there's plenty of wingers out there. There's plenty of people in the world. And to kind of sit there and sort of dwell on it and be stuck on it and allow it to overshadow what's looked like decent business up until now, the signings of Vieira, Jesus, Marquinhos, Matt Turner's coming in to add some depth in the goalkeeping position. And then obviously the return of William Saliba as well, which is something that a lot of people were calling for. So overall, the window's been positive so far. Don't let the Rafinha thing in itself take all the wind out of your sails, because I don't think that's fair. Let's take a few more of your questions before we move on. Some people suggesting that we should look at Leandro Trossard of Brighton. Decent little player. He is. But how much is that going to cost? Will Arsenal feel that's worth it? Do Arsenal think he's a good fit? I think he'd be a pretty decent fit. Yeah, I've got to be honest. I've been impressed whenever I've watched Trossard, and I did a couple of commentaries on Brighton games last season, so I really did sort of home in on the Belgian and thought he was a really, really exciting player to watch. Always energetic, always looking to make things happen. Maybe you could argue he could do with sharpening up a little bit in terms of end product, but a good option nonetheless, for sure. What else have we got? Ross Taylor says, do you believe Jesus and Nketiah is an upgrade on Aubameyang and Lacazette? Let me put it this way. Jesus, well, this bit's simple. Jesus is definitely an upgrade on Lacazette. No question in my mind about that. Nketiah, Aubameyang? No. Aubameyang is and has proven himself to be a much more accomplished striker throughout the years in which he's played at the highest level. And there's no denying that. But the question should be, Nketiah, a committed Nketiah, an engaged Nketiah, an Nketiah willing to work for the team, an Nketiah who's part of the system and understands the system and fits, is that better than having a disengaged, disenfranchised, disinterested Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who also was making the dressing room an uncomfortable place, who was also at the centre of a storm that clouded over us for weeks and weeks and weeks in the crucial part of the season? So I'm not saying that Nketiah is a better player than Aubameyang. Of course he is, and he's got a hell of a long way to go before he gets there, and I doubt he'll ever get there. But the point here is that it's not just that simple. It's not just a toss-up, Nketiah and Aubameyang. It's all the other factors that I've just mentioned that you need to take into consideration as well. Let's keep moving through the chat box. Going to pick out a few more before I leave you guys. Obradek says, do you think there is now a kind of affinity and cooperation, I beg your pardon, between Man City and Arsenal more than with any other club in the Prem? I don't know that the two clubs are like specifically fond of each other as clubs. I think it's just because of the personnel links. Like, Arteta knows Man City inside out. They know him inside out. The players at Man City would be more willing to join Arsenal, I'm sure, knowing what they're going to get in terms of a coach, in terms of methods, in terms of day-to-day. And I just think that's helped. I don't believe that there's any particular special bond, apart from we both hate Man U, which is quite nice. But yeah, no, that's about it for me. But that relationship between Arteta and Manchester City is I believe, proving key in getting the Gabriel Jesus done for sure. What else have we got? Just trying to pick out questions that aren't too similar to the ones that we've already answered. John Wells says, "Hi, Harry. I think left back is the priority. We have cover on the right wing. Rafinha is not worth 60 mil. Much better out there for that price." Yeah, I always said to you guys that 60 million felt a little bit too much. It felt over the top. I'd have been happy to pay over the top and for Arsenal to stretch that far if I thought it was a priority. And it is one of a number of priorities, but it's not right at the top as a standalone priority, in my opinion. So that's why the more I think about it, the more I'm now seeing what's happening and understanding that this is a really, really complicated transfer saga, the more I feel like, yeah, like move on. Let's look at other options. Guys, quick reminder again to please hit that like button. I set a target of 300. We've only got 227 on the board. Let's try and get there ASAP, please. It really, really does help. Good Guy says, what do you think of Martinez as the central defensive midfielder and Partey as the box-to-box? I really like that. I really, really do. And I suspect that that is something that Mikel Arteta will view as an option if he can get this deal over the line for Lisandro Martinez. Arsenal need to go there. They need to make Ajax the offer that Ajax clearly want or get closer to it. And then they need to try and act swiftly to wrap this deal up. But we know Manchester United are lurking as well. But I just think Arsenal could really benefit from Lisandro Martinez for so many reasons. I think for me, at the moment, that's become the priority. So I know I talk about certain positions, but in terms of players that are already on our radar that we know about as fans, the Lisandro one has to be the one that we're trying to wrap up next and we're trying to complete so that we can move on, because he covers two of the three remaining priority positions that I've listed. So let's do it. Let's make it happen. Let's bloody make it happen. Okay, I'm going to take one more question before I leave you guys. Let's see what we've got. I'm just going to scan through the chat box and pick up something if I can. Here we go. A nice super chat from Wayne. Thank you so much, mate, for your very, very kind donation. Really appreciate it. He says, don't you think if we were in the CL and made the signings that Tottenham had, this fan base would be in meltdown? Don't see the hype of their window. I would have said that prior to Richarlison. I think Richarlison is a big statement of intent from Spurs to go out and spend 50 million plus 10 million in add-ons on a player that's going to go into a front line that actually functioned really, really well last season. I think is a big statement from Spurs. But prior to that news today that they are closing in on that deal, I agree with you. I think their window has been underwhelming, but they've added squad additions and they may well go on and add a couple more. There's lots of talk about centre-back Clément Longley's being linked from Barcelona, a couple of links from Italian defenders as well. If they can get a couple more first-teamers in to complement Bissouma, Perisic, Jed Spence looks like they're close to doing that one as well, then you have to say that they've had a good window. And there's no denying it, right? I don't know what's happened. Antonio Conte's probably found the login details to Daniel Levy's online banking. It's the only thing I can think of, but they're making moves. And you have to say it's looking good for them. At the end of the day, though, a good transfer window doesn't guarantee success. We've seen that time and time again. We've seen Arsenal have windows we thought were really good and then them not perform. We've also seen windows like last summer that we thought were a little bit underwhelming, from which Arsenal really, really benefited. So, yeah, let's see. Big hello to Sudarshan as well, who joins from Chennai in India. He says, I'm a big fan of your podcasts, but this is the first time I'm listening live. Thank you so much, mate. Welcome to the live stream. He says, keep going great. I believe a left winger is priority along with the central midfielder. How do you rate Noah Lang? Noah Lang really does rate himself, doesn't he? I remember doing some work on some comments that he made not too long ago something like Belgian football needs Noah Lang, or Belgian football will be at a massive loss when Noah Lang leaves. I mean, I've heard good things about him. I don't know an awful lot about him, to be honest with you, mate, to be able to give you a detailed analysis. But when I was talking about putting those lists together as players I would quite like to see Arsenal move, Noah Lang was on my shortlist. Don't know if he makes my final list. If he does, I'll give you that analysis, but I'm still thinking about that one. So looking forward to bringing you that over the next few days. But thank you so, so much for tuning in, mate. Okay, guys, gonna leave it there. Been going for 45 minutes or so. Remember, leave a like on the video. We're still 47 likes away from hitting that target. There's over 700 of you watching. It's not acceptable. Hit the like button, subscribe to the channel if you're new. Remember to keep your eye out on the Chronicles of Aguna Twitter account, Chronicles_AFC, where there'll be a tweet dropping that if you like and retweet, it will enter you into the competition for one of the three Arsenal home shirts I'm giving away this summer. Catch you all soon with more. Until next time, take care. Goodbye.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simic.